can identify it if I'm alert to the will of God. That's all we want to do is make you alert. Wake you up. Go from consciousness, unconsciousness to consciousness. Isn't that what the scripture says? Wake up! That's all we can do is to get you to understand. You have to take it the rest of the way. I can't take this for anybody but me. I cannot take it for you. I can only move in this under my own efforts. But I can encourage others. And what I'm discovering is that a preacher is one that has received a great gift that will be so exciting that other people will try it. Amen. Y'all going to try this thing, ain't you? Yeah, I'm going to try it. When you try it, it'll hurt. But now listen to what he says. He said, don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need, so you should pray like this. Listen to how he said for us to pray. Our Father in heaven. Doesn't that coexist with our profession of faith? We believe in one God, the Father. My Father in heaven, the unique, wonderful, omnipotent, almighty God that has made me. And I'm saying, my Father, my Daddy, Abba Father, oh glory to you, God, my Father in heaven, may your name be held holy. You are different. You are set apart. You are a different God than all the other gods. You are a merciful, kind, generous, loving, compassionate, self-sacrificing God. Oh, thank you, God, for your greatness. Now listen to this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now, it's not saying that it should be done or it ought to be done. It said, God, your will be done. Folks, we believe today that the Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth, all principalities and powers, live under the dominion and the power of Almighty God. His name is Jesus. God, folks, whether you want to believe it or not, is in charge of this world today. He is pulling the strings on this earth today. The devil has no part of it. He has been finished. He was defeated 2,000 years ago, and God is in charge. The devil cannot make you do anything. You have a free will. We have been anointed of the Spirit. The devil has been made our footstool. You understand that? We don't have to yield to the darkness of the world anymore. We don't have to be caught into the lust and the greed and the selfishness and the arrogance and the pride of the world anymore. We don't have to be caught up in the desires of the flesh anymore. Folks, we got a Spirit, the living God living in us, that gives us power. The power that lives in me is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. People that are running around chasing the devil, all you got to do is look in the mirror and you'll see either God or the devil, one of the two. Don't try to find him in somebody else. I had a brother walk in my prayer meeting one time and he says, he stopped at the door. He said, I discern that there's a devil in here. And I looked at him and I said, he weren't here till you got here, brother. And he left. I said, the devil just left. Glory to God. Folks, don't go around looking for devil in other people. Look for the devil that's in you. Look for the spirit of the world, the spirit of lust, greed, selfishness, arrogance, pride, of unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation. Look for that spirit. Examine your conscience. Examine yourself. Don't examine someone else. It's like the guy that was looking for his watch. He dropped his watch. And his friend come along and he said, John, what's wrong? Oh, he said, I dropped my watch. Oh, he said, well, I'll help you find it. He got down there and he was looking through the leaves and they were scuffing around. And after a while, about 30 minutes, old Charlie's knees began to hurt. And he said, John, where did you drop the watch? Oh, he said, I dropped it back at the house. He said, what in the world are you doing looking here? He said, there's more light here. You think you'll find the watch? You know how easy it is to look in somebody else's heart? You know how easy it is to always see other people that are doing wrong? And you can always justify what you're doing? Stop it. Just stop it. Stop judging your kids and start loving them. God's kingdom, oh God, your kingdom come. Are we talking about the kingdom that is in heaven? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in. Are you saying that the kingdom of heaven is going to be found here on the kingdom of earth? That God's will is being done in both places? Well, folks, what are we worried about? What are we upset about? What are we concerned about? Why are we angry? Why are we disillusioned? Why are we bitter? Why are we disappointed? If the kingdom of God, if God has told us to pray, oh God, your kingdom come, your will be done in me on this earth as it is in heaven now, folks, God's kingdom is here. It's not coming. It's already here. And your problem and my problem is to get into this kingdom. We take it with force. Love your enemies. Do you know what the will of God is? Have you been told that this week? His will is this. Love your enemy. That's His will. Do good to those that hate you. That's His will. Turn the other cheek. That's His will. Those words, folks, had to come from heaven. The world has never coined those words. There's no government on this earth that ever formed this constitution by those words. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. That's the will of God. Now, how many of you are praying this? Oh God, today, let me love my enemy. Folks, He's already in place. He's already there. You ain't got to go look for your enemy. You already got him. God knows what you need to practice your faith on. And most of our prayer is to pray those things. Oh God, would you change my husband? Pray, oh God, don't change him. Keep him like it is so I can learn to be a saint. You understand what I'm saying? Stop trying to pray things out of the way. We're praying for everything to change. Oh God, change the world, change age, change this, change homosexuals, change Yugoslavia, but don't change me. I'm justified. I go to Mass every day. I pray the rosary twice a day. I go to novenas and I'm tithing and I do everything just right, God. If the world was like me, we would have a wonderful place. Hello. You know what God said about that person? He's self-righteous and he doesn't need a thing God's done. Every one of you, your situation to exercise your faith is already in place. Most of us are running from it. Running from your wife, running from your husband, running from your children, running from your parish, running from the very thing that God has put you in to let you practice patience, to practice kindness. See, folks, if we don't have those things to practice on, how would we ever know we were patient? If you didn't have a real horrible situation in your life now, to practice patience, I mean, you wouldn't have to. What if everything was just like you wanted? You wouldn't have to practice your faith at all. You understand that? Stop praying for everything to change and begin to give thanks in all things. Oh God, for everything that's going on in this world today, I give you thanks and praise because it's my cuckoo clock. When things aren't going right and I see things are going wrong, I said, oh God, this is an opportunity for me to change, to humble myself. Father, for me to remove the spirit of judgment out of my eye. Oh God, change me. Y'all understand that? You don't like it though, do you? I never have liked it. I mean, God, you mean to tell me the only thing I can see wrong with that guy is me? He's a spit image of me. The scripture, why do you try to remove the splinter from your brother's eye when you got a plank in your own? Y'all quit trying to get my splinter. Amen? Quit trying to get the splinter out of your children's eye. Take the board out of your eye. Then you will see clearly how to help. Instead of condemn, you will begin to help and encourage. His will is being done, folks. And all the mess that we're in today is a great sign of our sickness. And we're trying to pray it away. Oh, God, stop AIDS. I think it is a tremendous sign for us, for our spirituality has gone down the tubes. Abortion is a great sign to show us that we've entered off into total selfishness. And we need to begin to pray that God change me. I'm the reason for abortion today. I'm the reason for AIDS today. Y'all know that? Y'all know that, don't you? If you can ever begin to accept the responsibility for what's going on that's wrong, God can change you. If you are always looking at somebody else and thinking they got to change, folks, you'll never experience the revelation, the excitement of knowing Jesus. Jesus did not come into this world to condemn it. He came in to take our faults. Could we ever begin to take one another's faults? Could we ever begin to love one another the way God loves us? Could we begin to shore one another up and encourage one another? Even when you're in things that are not right, could you begin to try to encourage people, even when they're wrong, hoping that your light will be so bright and that you will be patient and you will hang in there and you will walk this walk and allow your light to shine? Surely that love is greater than evil, and if I'll keep walking in it, the love of God in me has got to overcome evil. But it requires great patience. It requires great kindness. It requires this. Love never takes offense. Folks, you can't be offended by anything if you're loving the way Jesus loved. He was not offended by us. He loved us. And He's not offended today. He loves us. Can you stop being offended? Stop it. And that's rough. I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing I ever got rid of was, well, you just upset me. You don't do that no more. Because I've got a free will. I can choose not to be upset. Y'all know that? I can choose not to be upset. I know that some of you, when you started in here Monday, the music was playing and people were dancing. It upset some of you. Look at them people, don't they? No, they shouldn't be doing that. Folks, you shouldn't do that. Stop it. You're not God. You're just not. You're not in control. God is in control. We're just happen to be His children down here to do His will. And His will is to love the way He's loved. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I would imagine after Jesus had taken them through this, I would imagine that the disciples were kind of, oh God, now we're going to have to pray to love these people. Oh, geez. I can't pray to get rid of them anymore. I'm going to have to pray to love them where they are.
God, and he's still raping my wife. God, this is going to be tough. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me the Holy Spirit today to live the life that you live. You, folks, I tell you, when you get into this, you'll stop praying for others and start praying. You'll know the need to pray for yourself. The reason tongues are so important, it's praying for yourself. I spend most of my time from now on praying, oh God, would you deliver me from evil? Lead me not into temptation. I'll walk up in the morning praying that it would be coming out of me. Oh God, I don't want to be tempted today. Give me a break today, please. I don't want to be put in a situation today where I've got a loving enemy. Let everybody that comes across my path be angelic and sweet and gentle and generous and loving and kind and patient. Oh God, I don't want to be tempted today. I don't want to be overrun by the evil one today. Give me a break today. You know, you start praying that, and he'll give you a break. You go 2 or 3 weeks and won't have any struggles at all, and all of a sudden, whoa! He'll bring you back to reality. God, there they are again. Oh, joy, glory to God. Oh, God, I'm back in it again. Y'all understand this? This conversion is an ongoing process. It's something that you do daily. And I would imagine when the disciples... See, Jesus was teaching the disciples just like he's teaching us today. And as they were going through this, he said, don't store up anything on this earth. Don't store it up. He said, your hearts will get in it. Your rings and your cars and your houses and all your clothes. He said, you start storing this stuff up. He said, you'll become attached. He said, if you get attached to it, you will become a lover of things and you'll begin to hate people. When people come along and take your things, you'll hate them. Don't get involved in storing up things. Y'all heard that this week, didn't you? Didn't like it either, did you? Because your houses are full. Suckers are packed out to the... I mean, packed every drawer. I bet you if I went to any one of your house, I'd have a problem finding an empty drawer. Every drawer is full. In fact, you know one of the things that you... One of the fastest growing businesses here in... Where are we at? Amherst. Amherst. I got to remember that. Amherst. One of the fastest growing businesses in this little town are called mini warehouses. Bring your extra junk over here. Don't you give it to nobody! Store it up! Because one of these days you may need it! And you gotta protect yourself now, you know! You know that creates apathy? If you don't take care of you, who's gonna take care of you? The world has taught us to be apathetic, folks. We must enter back into the reality of God's heart and become generous to everyone. So I would imagine that Jesus, as he's teaching the disciples, and they were going through this, they said, Lord, as they were leaving Jesus was leaving the temple, and as he was going away, his disciples came up to him and drew his attention to the temple building. What was the temple building to the Jews? Oh, it was grandioso. It was magnificent. That's where God lived. It was the place. I mean, folks, you had to go to the temple to worship God. You couldn't worship God anyplace else because that's where he was. Y'all understand that? And they were leaving the temple, and they said, Jesus, look what a grand building. Woohoo! Isn't this wonderful? And we're the only place in the world that's got it. And Jesus said to him, listen to what he said. He said, not one single stone will be left on another. And then he said this, everything will be destroyed. Folks, now, we know that, don't we? Especially when we get this age. I mean, it looks like some of y'all are destroyed out of here any day now. I mean, we're destroyed. I mean, you're... And you know what we'll do? We'll... hack it up, we'll scratch it up, we'll move it up, we'll pick it up, and it still dies. Doesn't it? It just drops. And then you'll say, oh, I don't know why she had to die. She had everything to live for. She just retired, and she was on her way to Florida for her third honeymoon. Oh, it's so bad. It's like heaven is a bad place to go. Nobody wants to go to heaven. You know why? We got enough stuff stored up down here to last us for 200 years. And you ain't going to get to use it. And when you die and you leave it, the kids will kill themselves over it. I mean, they'll kill one another over this junk that has no life at all. But you think you'll move it around and spread it around to let it do the... No, we're going to let our kids kill themselves over it. Let them hate one another over it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So they got to this point and they said, everything will be destroyed. And then Jesus asked, then the disciples came up to him and said, Lord, when is this all, man, when is this thing going to be over? You have given us a trip. The temple's being destroyed. I'm being destroyed. I can't save up nothing. I got to pray for my enemies. I got to love my enemies. I got to do good to those that hate me. I have no more defense. I'm just going to be a sheep led to slaughter. I mean, this world's got to be one horror trip. Lord, what will be the signs of the end of the world and your coming? What will be the signs of your end? So I'm going to read to you the signs. And here's what I want you to consider. When I'm reading these signs, see if you aren't trying to pray them out of here. You're trying to get rid of the signs. Oh God, change these signs. I don't like them. And we're blaming them on the Blessed Mother. We're telling everybody the Blessed Mother is telling us to pray away the signs. I'm going to tell you wonderful people something about the Blessed Mother. She would never do anything apart from Him. You folks stop picking on her in areas that she's not working. Stop giving her credit for something that she's not doing. She would never say something apart from Him. She would never lead you in an area that He had not paved the way for. And our biggest problem is today we don't know the way He paved, and we're overwhelmed by any spirit that comes through. And we'll blame it on everybody, especially our Blessed Mother. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, take care that no one deceive you, for many will come and deceive many. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. What is wars and rumors of wars? Say signs. Come on, folks, get in this with me. What are wars and rumors of wars? All right. And Jesus said, do not be alarmed. Don't be upset. For these things must happen. What? Do y'all see now where you've been praying wrong? All you got to do is change your mind. God's not mad at you. He's forgiven you. All you got to do is change your mind. For these things must happen, but the end is not yet. He's telling his disciples, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. He said, don't be upset about it. Don't be alarmed about it. He said, these things must happen, for the end is not yet. My dear brothers and sisters, can you please tell me when will you stop hearing about wars and rumors of wars? When you die, when you are out of here, I want to promise you, you won't hear about wars and rumors of wars, but as long as you're here and these ears are tuned into the flesh, I want to tell you, you're going to hear about it. There's never been a time in my life that there weren't wars or somebody thinking about a war. Let's get sensible about, folks, what we're doing. Let's get real. Let's get human. Let's get like Jesus. He said, don't be upset over these things, because these things are going to happen. The end is not yet. For nation will fight against nation, kingdom will fight against kingdom. And then he says something so profound that it just blew me away. He said, all of this is only the beginning of the birth and pains. And there's a whole other area of preaching, the birth and pains, folks being born into the kingdom of God. When a woman has a baby, it's with great pain that she delivers. You and I are being born into the kingdom of God. When you love your enemy, it creates pain. It creates discomfort. It'll stir up your comfort zone. Jesus said, love your enemy. That is birth and pains. Turn the other cheek. Those are birth and pains. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. Those are birth and pains. You and I are being birthed into the kingdom of God. Our church teaches that if we are redeemed, we will suffer redemptive suffering. Folks, when you know of your redemption, Jesus has paid a price for your sin. You have been redeemed under the preciousness of Almighty God. He said, in that you're going to suffer. It's called birth and pains. You're going to be born into the kingdom of God, and you'll suffer getting in it. It is not easy. And you're not going to play these things out of the way. You're going to go through them. And while you're in them, love unconditionally. Don't you get upset at nobody. Choose to lay down your life. Because he said, I've restored it forever. Stop trying to protect your life. There's not a one of you in here can protect it. It was born to die, and I don't care what you do, it's going to die. I don't care how many plastic hearts you get. Folks, we're really doing some horrible things in this country. You know that South America and these poor countries, we're robbing people of their hearts, their kidneys. We're robbing people of their stomachs. We're robbing people down there of their life so that the rich up here can have heart transplants. They're on the market for sale. These kids that are running the street in Brazil, Argentina, millions, and they're killing them like little flies. Good heart, good kidneys. We got to get real with this thing, folks. Amen. The lust of your flesh, you can never save it. And then Jesus said something profound. He said, with the increase of lawlessness, the increase of lawlessness. Have we had an increase of lawlessness in our age? Listen to what he says. He said, the lawlessness will increase, and love in most people will grow cold. We will begin to resist. You'll begin to fight. You'll say, I ain't taking no more of this. There's some, we got to stand up. We got to stand up for Jesus. Boy, you stand up and you'll get knocked down. You know, he never stood up to any of this stuff. He humbled himself. God, could we ever say, can we humble ourselves? That's too easy. They would call me a traitor to my country. If I started loving my enemy, I would be a traitor. People try to make me feel guilty if I don't stand on abortion lines. I refuse to stand on them because I'm not in opposition to nothing. God's in charge of everything. Can you imagine me changing, praying to change somebody else? When I should be praying to change myself! The man that stands firm to love till the end will be saved. The man that hangs on in all this lawlessness that we're experiencing, all of this anger and this, the family divorces and all the things that are going on, can we stand firm in all of the problems of the world? Can we hang on to this unconditional love? Can we hang on to this Spirit of the living God? Can we hang on it to the end? And folks, what's the end? When I check out of here, I don't have to hang on it till you check out. I got to hang on it till I check out. I can't hang on to this for anybody else but me. That's the reason I tell you folks, stop praying for other people's conversion and begin to pray for your own. God will convert you, and your light will shine so bright that other people will want to get into it, and then their conversion will start. Amen.